opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
And I want to thank Congresswoman Marsha Fudge for hosting us.
Why is Hillary coughing? Is Hillary Clinton well? I don't know. Listen to the coughing.
Trump, I get allergic.
She makes a joke to try to, you know, that she's allergic to Donald Trump as she's coughing, to try to deflect. You see, deflect away from the fact that I think something's seriously wrong with Hillary Clinton's health.
We have 63 days to go.
Listen in. I mean, that's... oh, boy. Does anyone really believe that she's telling the truth about her health? I mean, if the woman was forthright on a lot of other things, then maybe we would. But the fact that she lies about almost everything and stonewalls and delays...
Thank you.
Makes us very hard to believe that she's telling the truth about her health. I was in Washington. I was in New York City on 9/11, and Hillary visited the memorial for the victims of 9/11. And when she did, you know, news reports were that, at least from her campaign now, that she was ushered away from the memorial services because she was dehydrated. That was the first thing they said, that she was dehydrated. Then they said she was overheated. I guess those could be one and the same. And then a day later, when she was whisked away and the video came out of her stumbling into her van, basically fainting, a day later, her campaign came out and said she had pneumonia. Well, maybe she does. She said she was diagnosed with pneumonia on Friday, but Sunday was the memorial where she visited the 9/11 memorial, the victims of 9/11. So 2 days passed. She didn't announce it on Friday. She waited until this video came out that busted her for being sick, and then came out with this idea that she was overheated and she was dehydrated, and then changed the story that she has pneumonia. Now, I don't know what she's got, but she's got something.
I've been talking, so...
You know, some people have speculated that she has Parkinson's disease.
Every time I think
remember the
Trump
concussions in 2012? Here's the issue. I mean, I think it's important the American people know what our commander-in-chief might, what their health might be. If they're going to be the commander-in-chief, we need to know they're going to be healthy. So it's important we find out. It's kind of like Weekend at Bernie's right now. She's just being dragged around. And by the way, she isn't planning many campaign events and hasn't been. She's been absent from the campaign trail, which just even leads us to believe that there's more to the story. So we'll be watching this closely. The reason I bring it up, because I was in New York City this past weekend, with my son. And we got to visit, you know, the typical places, the Empire State Building, Central Park, Strawberry Fields, which is the location dedicated to the memory of John Lennon, one of my favorite singers. The Dakota, which is the place where John Lennon was assassinated. Liberty Island, where Lady Liberty stands, we got to visit that. We went to the Central Park Zoo, Brooklyn Bridge, Times Square, Wall Street, and, of course, the World Trade Center. And being in New York City is kind of surreal. It really is a very interesting place. It represents to me the best and the worst of America. The best would be the World Trade Center itself, this new One World Trade Center, this gigantic 1,776-foot structure. And it's over 100 stories tall. And it was awesome. Folks, if you go to New York City, you cannot miss the World Trade Center, the new World Trade Center. And the memorial underneath, which actually you walk underneath and you can see the footprints of the old buildings. So that's the best. The best is that. The best is also Lady Liberty and all the other history of America. It makes you proud to be an American. But it's also some of the worst of America, and that is American culture. If you go to Times Square or some other places, people aren't very friendly, number one. Number two, as far as culture goes, this is the center of pop culture. And what's wrong with America? Women don't wear clothes anymore, almost. It's crazy walking around. What women are wearing, especially in New York City. What happens in New York is unfortunately exported to the rest of the country. And as you walk around, as an activist like myself and a Christian, you wonder to yourself, have we lost our culture? Have we lost it? Have we lost it? If you look at the movies and the social media and the TV and the music, it's all leftist. It's all pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-socialism, pro-humanism. In New York City alone, there are 120,000 abortions a year. Can you imagine that? 120,000. That's more than the country of Canada put together. And sadly, there's little resistance. Little resistance there. There are some churches. They're obviously most of them older churches. But as far as a Christian presence in New York City, it can't be found, except there were a couple of preachers at Times Square. That was about it. But what's amazing and inspiring was the World Trade Center and the memorial. And that is the understanding that there still are Americans who care about the country. And there are still our heroes in our nation. These were the first responders. That despite the fact that these buildings were burning and that they were likely going to lose their lives, they went up the trade towers to save people. That's the best of America. It's very inspiring. And if you get a chance, when you go to New York City, you got to go to the Trade Center, the new Trade Center and the memorial. So my question to you is, where were you on 9/11? Where were you 15 years ago when the trade towers were struck with airplanes by Islamic terrorists? Well, I can tell you where I was. I'll never forget that fateful day. Not only because of the devastation that was brought to us in New York City and our nation's capital, but because it crystallized in my mind forever the battle to which we have been called. And that call is to defend the forgotten victims of 9/11. You know, 9/11, we lost 3,000 people to Islamic terrorism. But more Americans are killed by abortionists every single day. And on 9/11, on that very day, more Americans are killed by abortionists on September 11 and every day since than were killed by Islamic terrorism on 9/11. And that's why I call this the terror in the womb, the forgotten victims of 9/11. And I penned this a couple of years ago. And if you want, I'm going to be posting this on my Facebook page and you can read it. This is something I wrote several years ago called Terror in the Womb, The Forgotten Victims of 9/11. I think it's appropriate to talk about the parallels, talk about the blind spot that Americans have. We remember the dead in 9/11, but we don't remember the dead of every single day in America. But like I said, more Americans were killed on 9/11 by abortionists than they were by Islamic terror. And if you think about 9/11, everybody remembers where they were if they were alive. Of course, that was 15 years ago, so there's some of us probably listening to the sound of my voice that are too young. You know, if they're 15 or 14 years old, they won't remember this. Or 16 or 17, they won't remember this. So, but for me, I was driving one of our reproductive choice campaign truth trucks, that is, trucks with billboard sides, images of abortion on them, in Miami, Florida. And we were entering into the downtown at the very moment that the trade towers were hit by the airplanes. And I was trying to contact media to cover our efforts there in Miami to draw attention to the killing of the unborn. And that's when I got news that the trade towers had been hit by an airplane. Of course, first of all, I thought it was some prop plane, you know, some small prop plane or something. It was just a mistake. And here's the deal. Many ask, you know, well, what did you do? Well, did you go back and watch the television? Well, what we really did is we continued our efforts throughout the week. Because I can tell you this, Planned Parenthood did not stop killing babies on 9/11. They didn't. In fact, Planned Parenthood, as a result of 9/11, offered free abortions for those who lived in New York City. For several days after, they gave away abortions, free abortions, everybody, as a result of 9/11. Like, that's an appropriate response to what had just happened to America. That's the callousness of Planned Parenthood. Free abortions, they said. So from that day forward, it crystallized in my heart and my mind why we do what we do. We are the first responders to the preborn. We are the ones that are storming the gates of hell at Planned Parenthood facilities all across America and abortion centers where the killing's taking place. You know those first responders that went up to buildings? I won't compare myself to them necessarily, but the fact is we are the same kind of people. When there is danger and when there are people in trouble, we run toward the danger to save the innocent. And I ask you, join us. Please join us. We need you to defend the innocent as they die in these abortion facilities every single day. Because September 11 happens every single day for the babies in the womb when we lose 3,000 in America. Please join us. On October 15, we are now calling for another Planned Parenthood protest across America, part of Protest PP. October 15 will be nationwide. We'll be holding prayer vigils out front of the abortion facilities across America because on October 16th, is the 100th year of Planned Parenthood, the anniversary of Margaret Sanger's founding of this wicked organization that butchers babies by the hundreds of thousands every year. 100 years of Planned Parenthood. And you can bet Planned Parenthood's going to be trumpeting that out and be letting people know that this is something to be celebrated. Well, we're not going to be celebrating. We're going to be holding a prayer vigil out front of Planned Parenthood facilities. And so we ask you to join us on October 15, all across America, at Planned Parenthood facilities. For more information, go to protestpp.com. That's protestpp.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute.
Created Equal is about changing this culture, and that's what we have to do if we are going to win this fight. And Mark and Seth and the others on the team of Created Equal are doing just that. And I am happy to endorse their work, glad to call them fellow companions in this fight for the life of the unborn. And I certainly hope you will support and work with them as they work on reforming this culture so that it has an appreciation for human life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio, 4230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
All right, we're back. We're talking about 9/11, the terror in the womb, the forgotten victims of 9/11, as well as Hillary Clinton's illness, which was first diagnosed supposedly as an overheating or dehydration. And now she says she has pneumonia. Well, I mean, this would explain, at least her sickness would explain why she's been on the off the campaign trail for a long time. I mean, that would make sense. Why doesn't she come clean with what she's got? That's the thing. Pneumonia? Well, if it's pneumonia, then she should be better in about, a week to 2 weeks tops. And we shouldn't have any more of these coughing fits. And we shouldn't have her stumbling to go upstairs or step into her van. If that continues, then we've got more to it. And here's the problem. The mainstream media is covering for her every step of the way. I was watching CNN yesterday, which is very torturous to do, by the way. And they used this to talk about how Donald Trump hasn't paid his income taxes. Here you got a national story of the presidential candidate for the Democrat National. She's the Democrat presidential candidate stumbling to get into her van and with questions overshadowing the campaign about her health. And we're talking about Donald Trump's income taxes and the fact that he hasn't released them. It's crazy. And it's very difficult to watch. But anyway, what I wanted to do here is talk about this new book. It's a booklet put together, compiled by my good friend Monica Miller. And she's a longtime pro-life activist, PhD, teaches in Michigan at a university there. And this is called Meditations on the Innocent Unborn Lost to Abortion. And in it, it has meditations or reflections by pro-life leaders such as David DeLayden, who is the individual who exposed Planned Parenthood's baby parts business, Joe Shidler, who is the grandfather of our movement, Father Frank Provone, myself, Abby Johnson, and others are in this booklet. And I wanted to read one of them to you, and I know, you know, I don't have a whole lot of time on radio, but I think it's important. For those pro-lifers or others that think that using abortion victim photography in the public square is ineffective or wrong, even some say it's unethical, because children see them or post-abortive mothers and fathers will see them and it will cause trauma for them. I wanted to read this testimony, this meditation by Jill Stanek, who is working currently for the Susan B. Anthony List, which is a pro-life lobbying organization out of Washington, D.C. She was the nurse that exposed the infanticide that was taking place at Christ Church Hospital in Chicago. And also she testified for the Unborn Victims of Violence Act. And this is what she wrote. When I became involved in the pro-life movement, I was frankly embarrassed when photos of abortion victims were displayed in protests. I want you that to sink in a little bit. I was frankly embarrassed when photos of abortion were displayed at protests. Here's the important thing. Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed by the victims of abortion? If you are a pro-life advocate out there and you don't like the use of abortion victim photos, you don't like displaying the victims out in the public square, I ask you to search your own heart and ask the question, is it because you're really just embarrassed by them? They embarrass you because you have to take the scorn, the persecution, the anger, the hatred that's directed towards you by other people, including our friends, Christians, and other pro-lifers. Are you embarrassed because you stand next to these? You don't want to be embarrassed, so you won't defend the victims. Honestly, I'll tell you this. I think that gets to the heart of why a lot of people won't use them. Because I have a study here I'm going to share with you real quickly that talks about how abortion victim photography used in the public square is effective. So I think there's very little debate about whether it changes hearts and minds. We know it does. Pro-lifers and Christians don't use abortion victim imagery because of what it does to them and their reputations and their standing and their organization's message and their branding. That's what's their main concern, and that is why they don't want to stand with the victims directly. I go on. I appreciated that all my friends meant business. I did too, but I wasn't sure about the tactic of using abortion victim photos. It seemed to be over the top. All that changed on one particular day when at a protest I stood with Joe Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League while holding my happy, happy baby poster while he held a photo of a baby's head severed from its body, held in forceps. I usually don't talk much during pickets. It's time for a meditation for me while I watch the reaction of people in cars passing by. But now I began to stare at this little baby aborted baby picture. He looked at to be the same age as the little abortion survivor I held as a nurse. Suddenly, I began to feel ashamed that I was embarrassed about his baby picture, grotesque as it was. So Jill Stanek was ashamed that she was embarrassed by the baby photo. What difference will this baby's life and death make if I don't honor him by showing the world his only baby photo? Ever since, I have held aborted baby signs at every picket I've attended, and these little martyrs are in good company. That's the testimony of Jill Stanek, nurse who held aborted babies who were killed after birth at Christ Hospital in Chicago. She said initially the reason why she did not stand with abortion victims is because she was ashamed. She was embarrassed by them. And then finally came around to the idea that that was the reason. And I exhort you, if you're a pro-lifer that wants to stand for the victims, there's nothing better than standing with an aborted baby photo because you identify with their suffering, that they don't die alone. When you stand with an aborted baby victim image, okay, you then identify with them directly in their suffering because you are now going to be persecuted. You are now going to take on some of the pain that they felt as they were killed. And the Bible says that we should identify, right, with those who are suffering. And so I believe that much of the reason why pro-life Christians do not use aborted baby imagery is because they are ashamed by the victims that they claim to defend. And to me, that's got to be changed. Now, finally, in the minute I have left, I want you to go to our Facebook page and you can read about this study that has come out that's been drafted by Dr. Jacqueline Harvey, who's a professor who teaches here in at Tarleton State University. And she compiled a bunch of data gathered by this Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform on the use of abortion victim imagery. And she compiled this new report called A Statistical Analysis on the Effectiveness of Abortion Victim Photography. And in it, she found this, that those identifying as completely anti-abortion increased by nearly 30%. After seeing abortion imagery. And overall, there was a statistical significant gain of 17% toward an anti-abortion worldview after seeing abortion imagery. 90% of the respondents said that their negative feelings toward abortion increased. Here's the point. Abortion victim imagery used in the public square to reach people like millennials on college campuses is effective. We have the evidence. It confirms everything that we've believed for years. The reason why most people don't use them is the same reason Jill Stanek didn't use them, because they're embarrassed by the victims. because then their reputations that are on the line, they don't like to have to bring that persecution on themselves for their stand for the preborn. You've been listening to the Mark Harrington Show. Go to our Facebook page. You can listen to this 24/7 on iTunes and Podbean. We'll be back next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.